Through much of medical history, the approach to treating disease has been akin to using a blunt instrument to carpet bomb an area. The side effects that many treatments create is testament to the fact more than the region of the body we wish to target is being affected. This is not to lessen the impact of how modern medicine has helped millions of people and reduce suffering, but also illustrates how certain refinements in our approach can lessen the negative impacts. Researchers at Tel Aviv University created nanoscale biological approaches to improve how we target diseased areas of the body. These nano-sized submarine carriers, which operate like a GPS system to locate and target cells, can deliver material, for example, to specific cancer cells and destroy them without harming the surrounding healthy cells. Their research was published in the journal Science, and I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Dan Peer, Senior Lecturer and Head of the Laboratory of Nanomedicine in the Department of Cell Research and Immunology, George S. Wise Faculty of Life Sciences, and the Center for Nanoscience and Nanotechnology at Tel Aviv University in Israel. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
I wanted to first ask what basic sciences are incorporated into your research and how have they come together to generate your approach?
Well, this is a kind of an interdisciplinary approach that we are trying to combine material sciences together with chemistry and immunology and a bit of cell biology and pathology as well. So we're trying to do this all together to create those small submarines or mini submarines, call them nanoparticles, that can be targeted specifically to diseased cells.
So with regards to these nanoparticle platforms, if we break this into a constituent components, for example, you would need a targeting system, a carrier molecule, a structure that's not attacked by the body's immune defenses, and a reservoir for the payload to deliver to that cell. How do you construct something like that?
So first, it's an excellent observation. It's basically a system that incorporates lipids, proteins, sugars, and in our case also nucleic acids as the payloads. But basically, we are using a step-by-step approach, meaning we first create those carriers, which are small-scale lipid bubbles, very small, tiny, about 100 nanometers in diameter, in a very controlled manner. And then we chemically coat them with sugars, and this specific sugar basically provide or endow the carrier with the ability not to be recognized by the immune system. It's something, it's a material that we have in our own body, but we use it as both a stabilizer agent as well as a scaffold for our GPS or recognition moieties that we will chemically conjugate to the surface. And the next layer, so basically it's a layer-by-layer approach. The next layer, it will be the GPS system or the targeting agent that will recognize in a very specific manner. It could be an antibody or some other ligands, in a very specific manner, the diseased self versus healthy self. And the payloads, we can either entrap them in the beginning of the process or sometimes, depending which one of them, in the end of this process. This entire particle could be lyophilized. So basically, we could get a powder, and this powder could be stored basically in room temperature for a long time before we use it.
Now, my understanding is that you're using what we call ribonucleic acid I, or RNAi, as part of the payload. Can you briefly describe for our listeners what RNAi is designed to do?
So basically, the idea behind this very interesting phenomena, natural phenomena that has happened in our cells, is that when a virus enter, for example, the cells, and it's an RNA virus, basically it can silence through a very ancient mechanism, can silence specifically a specific gene or a specific messenger RNA that is transcribed from a specific gene. Basically, this Having said that, it means that there is not going to be a protein, a specific protein, generated. Now, it's not a phenomenon that will be forever. It's a very temporary situation. Mm-hmm. So in our systems, when we deliver those, we can actually control them and their release as well. So it could be kind of a deco inside the cell that can kind of slowly release them. And the effect will be basically generating an effect that disease proteins, for example, will not be manufactured by the cell.
So in other words, it sends almost like a different recipe or instruction into the cell to change its metabolism so that the products that would either contribute to the cell's growth or the spread or cause the disease process itself would be curtailed by just changing those instruction sets.
Exactly. And this is the beauty of this phenomenon. And we can do it exogenously by really creating or using those small fragments of RNA and pack them into this carrier. And we can, you know, we can target one gene or we can target a few genes that are the same carriers. And again, the thing is that they can silence or they can create or not basically reduce the amount of protein that mm-hmm. will be generated almost into a zero. And the beauty of this system or of this discovery that actually a Nobel Prize was just 2 years ago was awarded, actually it was 2006, mm-hmm. of the discovery of this phenomenon that was discovered in worms, actually. But the beauty of this, that this really can streamline, at least this is the belief in the pharmaceutical industry, because it can really streamline the development of drugs. And it can make any target druggable. And basically, you have another layer of targeting cells. Mm-hmm. So if a disease protein is produced by a disease cell, okay, and if accidentally you're targeting the wrong cells or, you know, not specifically be taken by healthy cells, but those healthy cells will not be generating this disease protein, there is no chance that this RNAi medicine that is our payload will be harming the cells, the healthy cells. Mm-hmm. So only if it's going into the right cell, the disease cells, it will work. And this is another layer of defense or another layer of efficacy of these payloads. So as opposed to, for example, small molecules like chemotherapies, okay, mm-hmm. that are distribute unevenly into different cells, both healthy cells and normal and diseased cells, and they can harm healthy dividing cells. For example, we all know about hair loss, okay, because they are dividing cells, hair follicles, for example. They're dividing cells, and the chemotherapy does not really distinguish between healthy and disease cells.
Right.
So they enter in all cells. In the case of RNAi, if they will enter healthy cells and there is not a production of a disease protein there, for example, they will not harm the cells per se. So this is another layer of, I would say, targeting or selectivity of the drug itself or of the payload itself.
Mm-hmm. Now, with regard,
and hopefully this will also reduce some of the, you know, potential side effects.
Now, with regards to your study, what did you find when you put this into practice in the models that you used? How effective was this?
So we think it's the efficacy was very high in our system. We basically demonstrated that we can manipulate immune cells. In the case of colitis models, so one of the inflammatory bowel diseases, mm-hmm. basically instead of treating symptoms, we basically treat the cells that are causing the symptoms. So if we can do this, if we can manipulate the cells that secrete those bad proteins, in this case cytokines, that cause an inflammatory reaction in the gut, if we can treat them not to secrete or to reduce the amount of those bad proteins, we will be in a very good condition. Now, to make clear, we have only used this system in mice.
Mm-hmm.
Although we are practicing different kind of models, so we're now moving more into cancers and different kind of cancers, more specifically blood cancers, but also pancreatic and breast cancers. And but we have not practiced in any clinical trial yet.
What is the timeline for applying this technology into human clinical trials? How many years are you looking at before you've reached a point to decide to do that?
It's a fantastic question because it depends on two factors, I would say. First, funding, because there is no company behind us, at least at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
We are totally, you know, at the mercy of good people and like National Institute of Health or National Cancer Institute that have a program for investigator-initiate clinical trials. On the other hand, there are, I would say, two technical barriers. One is the creation of a scalability of this system that incorporates, as I mentioned, protein, lipids, nucleic acids, and sugars in the same system.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no system like this. So in terms of the regulatory issues, we probably need to face some very strict regulatory issues. On the positive side of this, I would say that at least in our models, we haven't seen any induction of unwanted stimulation of the immune system or unwanted side effects from this. So it looks like quite a safe system. But there is a regulatory issue that we need to address. So it's basically depending on, you know, on funding, I would say, or if there is a big company that will be committed for kind of for this system. And we think that if we, you know, if we'll have the right funding, it could be as fast as in the clinic within 3 years. To just meet out all the regulatory issues and scalability. So this is our challenge right now.
Dr. Dan Pierre is Senior Lecturer and Head of the Laboratory of Nanomedicine in the Department of Cell Research and Immunology, George S. Wise Faculty of Life Sciences, and the Center for Nanoscience and Nanotechnology at Tel Aviv University in Israel. And Dr. Pierre, I would love to have you back on in a year or so to see how things are going. I really wish you all the best in pursuing this avenue of research, given the potential that you've described and the elegance of this system. I'm really curious to see what happens, and I'm sure you are as well.
Thank you very much.